You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Good afternoon. My name is Sabrina Mayhew, and I'm here today to ask the founder of Kids Empowered, Kimber Bishop Yankee, and Steve Windham, Area Director for the Michigan Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, about two upcoming conferences. Can you guys first tell me a little bit about yourselves?
Sure. I'm Kimber Bishop Yankee. I'm the founder of Kids Empowered. We have been around for 20 years in Metro Detroit. We also have traveled to places like Kenya and Israel, Palestine, Jordan, Canada, and have done our programs. But we offer all kinds of programs around self-esteem, social skills. And our specialty, unfortunately, is helping kids deal with unfriendly classmates, bullying, and hot-cold friendships. And we have an office in Troy. We also do coaching and counseling, Girls Nights Out, Boys Nights Out. We even do programs like at the bowling alley, summer day camps, all kinds of fun ways to teach kids how to be empowered.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. My name is Steve Windham. I am with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and AFSP is the nation's largest nonprofit in the area of suicide prevention and mental health awareness. We are a nationwide 501c3. We have chapters in all 50 states, including Alaska and Hawaii, and our mission is to save lives and bring hope to those affected by suicide. So we impact a lot of people in the community. We have a Michigan chapter, which I oversee here, which is a volunteer-driven, staff-supported chapter that does all of the work of AFSP and seeks out local partnerships and local ways to engage the public and educate them. And as an education-based organization, everything that we do speaks into self-help and self-help-seeking behaviors, as well as arming people with the tools and knowledge and education they need to help prevent this leading cause of death.
Great. So, Kimber, can you tell us a little bit about the upcoming conferences?
Yes, there are two. I'll start with the first one. It's called Surviving the Social Jungle, and it is for kids 3rd through 5th grade, middle school, parents, and professionals, anyone that works with kids, coaches, youth leaders, Girl Scout leaders. The date is Saturday, March 2nd. The location is the Academy of the Sacred Heart in Bloomfield Hills. We have a website called survivingthesocialjungle.com. And the reason we put this conference together, this is our third one. The reason we put this conference together is after doing programming around these topics for 20 years, I am very frustrated and disappointed that our society has made very little progress in preventing bullying. And so I thought, how could we reach a much larger crowd? The key is getting people trained, whether they are the target, the bully, or the person just watching it, the bystander, the parent, the teacher, the person in the lunchroom, getting as many people trained as possible. That's how we're going to solve this problem. And we'll talk a little bit more about what we're going to do at the conference later. The second conference is a Teens World, and it is also March 2nd, Saturday, at Sacred Heart in Bloomfield Hills from 1 to 4. And this is our first time doing this. And the reason we're doing it is because, one, the need, but we also got a lot of requests for a teen conference once everyone saw The Social Jungle. We're very excited. We have a keynote coming in to talk about social media and the brain for parents, and she will also speak to the teens. And then we have a workshop on self-defense for girls, one for boys, and they will address things that girls and boys need to know about how to get out of risky situations, boundaries, consent, all the things that our kids are facing today as teens and young adults. then they will also speak to Katie about social media. The parents will speak to Katie about social media, and then they'll go to a panel bringing the best out in your teen boys, bringing the best out in your teen girls. And we'll have a lot of experts to help, including people from Steve's group.
So, Steve, can you tell us a little bit about why your organization is part of this event?
Yeah, definitely. It's important for us to educate this population. We know that for our youth, ages 15 to 34, we know that suicide is the second leading cause of death for this age group. And to have a captive audience like this, to have a large swath of teenagers and parents, and to be able to really excel that education is important for us. We're an education-based organization, so everything that we do is rooted in science and research and understanding better how to prevent suicides and warning signs and early detection of mental illnesses. And, you know, this is a piece of the puzzle. You know, suicides are very complex and there's never one single reason for them. It happens when a lot of multiple intersecting factors come together. But we can't ever blame them on one incident. And so it's really important to help educate those who are struggling with help-seeking behaviors and understanding of warning signs and symptoms, and make sure that the public, especially our youth, are empowered with the tools and education that they need. You know, this whole conference is about equipping the teens and the youth with tools, resiliency, education, you know, not to just to be a bystander, but how to step in, how to have safe language. And so it's such a great thing to arm these students with what they need to help themselves and help each other. And this is just part of the puzzle. And for us, it really starts with that reduction of stigma, better understanding, you know, reducing of myth around things that we just believe because we heard them years and years ago. And suicide is privy to that, just like a lot of things that teens deal with, people don't understand them. And so we want to make sure people do understand what our teens and our youth are going through and educate and, you know, equip them, and then also get the word out about the things that we can offer the community. And so if you're dealing with this issue, we have a lot of great free resources for the community. And this is just a great place to get them out there and partner with a great, great conference.
Wow, that sounds good. So Kimber, it sounds like you have a few different stations for the Social Jungle Conference. Can you talk a little bit about the different stations?
Yeah. So kids learn best when they're doing something. And that's what we have spent 20 years of offering these creative programs to teach kids different skills and strategies and awareness. So we took that concept and we created 7 stations. One of the stations is called Verbal Judo. And our self-defense instructors, which sound amazing, they're going to be with the teens in the afternoon. But in the morning, they're going to be offering a station. And the kids will come in groups of 15 and they will learn words that they can say. So verbal judo, they'll learn words they can say when someone is mean to them, and then they'll get to learn some self-defense moves. So it's very interactive. So they'll move every 20 minutes to a different station. The other exciting thing is at each station, they will get a little gadget. We have found some great sponsors who have provided us with fun little trinkets that the kids get to take home in their backpack. So Surviving the Social Jungle backpack, every kid will get a backpack full of fun gadgets.
That sounds good. Now, I know I hear that you had a yoga station, and I'm really into yoga. Can you tell me a little bit more about the yoga station?
Yeah. So one of the stations is called Calm and Collected. And the purpose of that station is that we're going to teach kids how their brain reacts when they go and when someone is mean to them or someone yells at them. Our brain goes into fight or flight. Naturally, some of us are fighters. You say something mean to me, I'm going to say something mean to you. Or you say something mean to me and I'm going to avoid you or walk away. So we all have a natural reaction. What we're going to do is train the brain how to calm itself so that we can hopefully pick the reaction that we want to pick. And we do that by learning how to calm our bodies, our brain. So that is the purpose of the Calm and Collected, is for kids to learn how that fight or flight response works. And then also then, what are some tools and strategies that they can use to calm themselves, calm their brain, so it doesn't release those fight or flight chemicals. And interesting enough, breathing is a huge piece of being able to calm your body. Then they'll get to do some yoga moves. And it's really important that our kids know tools to help them manage their stress and anxiety. So again, it's a interactive station, but at the same time, they're going to learn some really valuable information while they're doing this station.
Wow, that sounds great. It seems like that's wonderful, that tools that kids can have to learn to deal with situations that they encounter in school. And so, Steve, can you tell us why you think parents and professionals can benefit from coming to these events?
Yeah, you know, it's the same as the teens. It arms them with resources and education that they need to know and understand. You know, we can't shy away from things just because they're a little scary to deal with. Our topic sometimes is a little heavy with suicide prevention. But, you know, real suicide prevention starts with kind of what Kimber's doing with these children, to educate them on tools and resources they can use. We know that, you know, a majority of mental illnesses, which play a key role in suicides and suicide prevention, they set in times of transition or prolonged stress or trauma. And so being able to be resilient and have these anxiety coping mechanisms, and having these mechanisms they can actually put to use, is really great. You know, we talk a lot about help-seeking behaviors, and we have to understand that just like we have to teach ourselves to walk, sometimes we have to teach ourselves to do other things. You know, we have to teach ourselves to ride a bike, teach ourselves to type on a keyboard. But we really don't teach ourselves a lot to have that mental resiliency when we need it. And it's all about the empowerment and education to be able to, you know, help them understand that they're really in control, and they're in the power, and they can't let a bad day or a bad week turn into something that puts them at risk for a greater thing down the road. It's, you know, we used to believe that there was vitamins in cigarettes and that cigarette smoking was really good for you. But, you know, now we believe that some really different things about suicide and suicide prevention. And it starts with, you know, our young people understanding what the truth is of it, and how mental illness sets in, and when mental illness sets in, and how treatment is available. And there are opportunities out there to help you deal with what you're dealing with, and you don't have to feel the way you feel. And it goes with educators and parents too, to make them comfortable to talk about this. You know, sexual education and drugs and alcohol were a really taboo subject 20, 30 years ago, but now we openly discuss them with our teens so that they're prepared and they're ready for it. You know, this is just another piece. How do you deal with anxiety? How do you deal with depression? How do you, you know, put yourself at less risk for those things as well? It's just making it normal conversation. You know, this topic can't be taboo anymore. And, you know, we can't shy away from the fact that a lot of young people succumb to something that can be prevented by early detection, talking. You know, we have a program that's called Talk Saves Lives. We ran it last year at the Kimber's conference, and it was great. And we had one mother really, really need the information. And she stayed after and talked with us really well. And she said the things that we taught her that day probably saved her daughter's life. And so just, you know, it's educating people with what they need and where the resources are, and that, you know, we have to be advocates for ourselves a lot of times, but there's help out there, and there's resources, and there's those who can show you the way and can get you through this time. And Kimber's bringing them all together to be able to be educated and be empowered and not be afraid of it anymore, and to stare it down and defeat it like we have so many other major issues. You know, you hear cancer and diabetes and heart disease and all these things that were, you know, years ago killing many, many Americans, but their mortality rate is declining, and, you know, we're seeing an increase in suicide rates. And so we have to start somewhere, and it starts with this early education and detection piece. And Kimber's doing a great job with the students, the parents, and the professionals, because sometimes, you know, teachers don't know what to do. Parents don't know what to do. And as long as you can get the person to the help they need, you know, we don't have to fix this problem ourselves. There's people out there who can help us, and it's great to be able to educate them on that.
I'd like to add to that, talking about getting the help you need, is this conference gives you an opportunity to then have those conversations with your kid or with your teen. And I would say that's one of the most important pieces or feedback that I love about when we do programs. I have so many parents say, I was able to talk to my kid about that issue, when before they would shut me down. But because they actually went to something and did something, it gave the format, the forum to have those conversations. And I also want to say is we get so many phone calls and emails of parents that they are afraid of going to a therapist. They're afraid of seeking out help. They don't trust people out there to help them. And so a lot of times Kids Empowered actually is a first step in getting people to understand, hey, there are good people out there that can help you. And this is, you know, when you take action, you feel better. When you don't take action, you feel helpless and powerless. So we're trying to empower parents, empower kids, empower teens, and empower professionals. And the Talk Saves Live workshop is one of the workshops we're offering in the morning at the Social Jungle for parents and for professionals. Again, the key to this is getting as many people trained as possible. When I started 20 years ago, everybody's answer about bullying or about, you know, behavioral issues was, we'll send them to the counselor. Well, the counselor cannot take care of 400 kids in a school. We need to circle around our parents, circle around our kids, circle around our teens, and have many places that people can get help. It can't just be the counselor at school. Everybody is overwhelmed with all of these stresses that we're facing. So we need to be the village for our community. And as a parent, you could be that person. You could be that light that helps another parent get the help they need for their kids because you have that resource. You have that training.
Yeah, this sounds like really good and important information for our youth. So, Kimber, can you tell us a little bit more about the conference for teens? Why do parents want to get their teens to this conference?
Yeah, I would tell you that like every parent of a teen, pretty much every parent is facing the same struggles with social media. And all the research, there is so much research coming out about loneliness. Even at church last Sunday, the message was about people are lonely. We are more connected than ever through Facebook and Instagram and text messaging, but we're more lonelier than ever. And so parents, and I am a parent also of a teen and a preteen, and it is a struggle, just like every parent I talk to, it is a struggle to manage the balance of social media, Instagram, Snapchat, all those apps that are coming out that are hidden and secret. I've worked with several teen girls who have a whole secret world of apps that they're on that their parents have no idea what they're talking about, who they're talking about. And those girls are actually excluding, icing out girls who they know talk to their moms, who they know their moms have access to their cell phone. And it's very scary because most parents do not know what their teens are doing. So we have this great keynote, Katie McPherson. She is from Michigan, but she is a national speaker, national expert, and she is going to talk to parents and the teens about what is the balance. How do you have a digital footprint that is not going to hurt your chances for getting into college or getting a job? And, you know, what is it doing to your brain? She's going to give us the latest research. And so many parents are asking for that. So we decided to bring in an expert for this. So we're really excited. And then the self-defense piece. A lot of our young people at colleges find themselves in these situations where, you know, when that boy that died at that fraternity who was pledging with 20 other fraternity boys not helping him, not calling 911, not doing anything but trying to figure out how to not get in trouble, and they just left him to die. Our kids need these skills. Again, I bet you most of those kids were in fight or flight. They simply, their brain shut down. They did not know what to do. So we've got to talk to these kids about what if you find yourself in a situation where your friends or your classmates are doing something that's not okay and you need to get an adult, you need to call 911. We hear it over and over about young people dying and other kids sitting around and not knowing what to do. So this is a must that every teen should have. Additionally, 1 in 5 high school girls is experiencing dating violence. So girls and boys need to really know that no means no, no means stop, silence means no. They need to know what that looks like and sounds like so they don't find themselves in a situation that could ruin their life.
It's great stuff. I have 2 boys and a little girl, and they're still 10 years removed from teenage years, and it's going to be worse. And so it's so great to have these things out there to talk about and to, you know, remove the stigma, because you have to talk about and arm your daughter. It's scary to think about, but, you know, for my 2-year-old daughter, at some point I have to have a conversation. Like, if a man touches you, like, you know, we have to talk, you know, and it's this is the change, right? This is the new, the wave, the new story we can write with these youth. And just like mental health, they talk about it a lot. Like, they talk about depression, they talk about anxiety. They're more open about the issue of mental health and mental illness. But when someone's in trouble or when there's that suicidal statement, they freeze, right? Like, they fight or flight. If they don't know what to do, their brain shuts down. And so same idea that, you know, this is such a great opportunity to educate our youth on all these facets and just to be able to partner and reach more people and continue to change the narrative to where that is common knowledge, as bad as it sounds. Like, it needs to be common sense again, that some of these things have to be retaught to a lot of kids.
Yeah, and I personally believe that every middle school kid, every high school kid needs someone that they can talk to. So whether it's a coach, a teacher.
Every person should have a therapist. Yeah. I believe every single person in America needs a therapist. Yeah. Like, I'm not lying.
Yeah. Yeah, whether it's a teacher, coach, or youth leader. But if we, that's one of the skills. What we have found is that the older the kids are, and if they have not been brought up talking about these things, then they're very uncomfortable and they're more resistant to talking about sticky issues and uncomfortable issues. So ideally, you would start when they're at least like 4th, 5th grade so that they become comfortable with talking about, yeah, I'm really scared, or I feel really anxious, or I'm really mad and I need some help because I can't, these feelings are overwhelming to me. That is a skill in itself, yeah. To be
emotions
able,
are hard for kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. My boys struggle. We have to calm them down and, you know, teach them these things at 6 and 8. You know, it's not something we're born with. We have to really model it and teach people.
Yeah, and if you look at what happened at Michigan State with the Larry Nassar case and how many victims there were and how many years this went on, you can see how people might tell somebody and that person doesn't know what to do with that information and stayed silent. So part of this is training people that are bystanders to feel comfortable to reach out to find the person. Hey, I need to find the person that can help me or direct me in solving this problem. So the more we like to look at it as a full toolbox or empty toolbox. When our kids have an empty toolbox, they might feel anger or sadness or anxiety. They might feel like a target. They might get mean back because they don't know what else to do. So we like to look at it as a full toolbox and how many skills can we give our kids? How many strategies? And personally, when I was a freshman in college, I went to my first semester English class, and I had a professor that sexually harassed me. And because I grew up three girls, sheltered, very sheltered home life, the way he talked to me, I didn't even understand half the things he said to me. The only reason I knew some of the things he said to me were completely inappropriate was because the boys in the class laughed and the girls in the class shrunk in their seat. And my boyfriend at the time, he wanted me to report him. I was too scared. I said, no, I can't. I thought I would get in trouble. I thought he would fail me. I went through that semester. And when I saw him on campus later, I literally, my heart would drop and I would run the other way. I felt so panicked. I found out later, a couple years later, I was roommates with somebody who was older, who had, she was a junior. She was in a class with him and he was doing the same thing to her. But she thought it was funny. She was much more savvy. She had traveled a lot, been around a lot of different kinds of scenes that I had not been when I was a freshman in college. But what I found out was he picked one girl to do that to each semester. I never reported him, and I regret it. But when I got older, I realized, what if I had known? But of course, when I was that age, the word sexual harassment wasn't even out. So it wasn't until 15 years later that the word sexual harassment started coming out. And I thought to myself, what if I had known what to do in that situation when he was speaking to me? Would I have panicked, would have gone to my dorm room and cried and been scared? I hope not. I think I wouldn't have. I think I would have said, whoa, wait a minute. I know what to do. But at the time, I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know what to do. And so I did nothing. But fortunately for me, I experienced that a few more times and I learned through life how to respond to it. So I figure we can either learn through life, and some of us will know what to do and be able to move forward. And then some of us will avoid those situations and never learn. So that's why I think talking about these things, and this is what we do in school. So we teach kids what to do if there's a fire. It's the same philosophy. If we didn't do fire drills and then they pulled the fire alarm, some people would cry, some people would run, some people would scream. It would be chaos.
Some people would sit there and be like, what's going on? Right. They would just sit by and watch.
Right. So we train our kids what to do if there's a fire. Sadly, I won't go into the subject, but now, you know, they're getting trained on what to do with lockdowns, which I think is unfortunate. But training,
training CPR now too. There's in Michigan schools, the bill goes into effect, I think, this year to graduate high school, you have to be CPR certified in Michigan. So like, I've never seen someone have a heart attack in a restaurant, you know, and if they did, I wasn't certified. So it's we're training them in this. Why not in what we're doing on the side, right? So we have to have a separate conference where it should be integrated into the curriculum. But for now, we have what we're doing.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, okay, so just as a parent coming to this day, can you give me again what the day and time of the event is? And what is, so I know that teens are in the afternoon, but what age are you catering to in the morning session?
Yeah, so in the morning is Surviving the Social Jungle. We have several different workshops for parents and professionals. There's actually a professional track that you can get credits for. We have an afternoon professional session. Dr. Roger Cleveland is coming in from Lexington, Kentucky. He was our keynote last time, and people loved him so much that we decided to bring him back for workshops. So he is going to be doing a workshop on raising a healthy, emotionally intelligent boy in the morning. He is doing one on inclusion for teachers, And then in the afternoon for teachers and social workers, counselors, he's doing one on trauma, teaching how to address trauma in schools. And that seems to be the hot subject this year. So we've got that. Drew Yankee is going to be doing, he's my husband, by the way, he's a psychologist, and he's going to be doing one on ADHD and then one on anxiety. We have Katie from Riverbend who will be speaking about girls as a workshop for parents. We have, of course, Talk Save Lives. And let's see, what else do we have? I know we have something else. Let's see what I'm missing here. Oh, Katie McPherson, our keynote, is going to be doing a workshop for teachers on the iGen. You know, how do you help the iGen student? And then she's going to be doing one on dealing with bullying. So the parents, teachers, and kids will be coming in the morning to Surviving the Social Jungle. The kids are broken up into groups of 15, third through fifth grade, and middle school. And then parents will move together and break into their, they'll go to the keynote and then break into their different workshops. Teachers, counselors that are staying for the afternoon will have lunch, and then they'll do their afternoon professional session. At 1 o'clock, we will have the teen conference, A Teen's World. You can find that information at empoweredteen.org. I'm sorry, teensempowered.org. It's a new website for us, teensempowered.org. And we will have the parents, professionals go to together to the keynote, and then they will break into two groups, a teen panel for bringing the best out in your teen boy and bringing the best out in your teen girl. We will have therapists and coaches and professionals to address different issues facing our teens. The teens will go in a girls group and a boys group to separate self-defense workshops, and then they will come together to meet with Katie to talk about the brain and social media. You can find this information at survivingthesocialjungle.com. And an empowered teen, teensempowered.org. And we have a telephone number, 248-757-0912. And anyone can email me at kimber@kidsempowered.com for any of these questions that they might have. If you have any Girl Scout leaders out there and you want to bring your Girl Scout to the conference, we do have patches for Girl Scouts. It's a great way to be a part of the conference. And Steve, why don't you tell them how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, definitely. We'll be at the conference. So definitely when you stop by, look for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention table. But you can reach out to us if you'd like to get involved more at afsp.org/Michigan. So it's American Foundation Suicide Prevention, the four main letters, afsp.org/Michigan, or look for us on all social media at AFSP Michigan, or you can email us at michigan@afsp.org if you'd like to get involved. And we look forward to seeing everybody at the conference. Such a wide variety of, you know, youth and dynamics and people, and it's great for everybody, so we look forward to seeing everybody there.
I would just like to end it with, we also do have a Facebook page, survivingthesocialjungle.com, and I would just like to end it with one little tidbit of information with the verbal judo. Parents always want to know, what is it can I tell my kid to say to the person being mean? So one of our most popular, we call them bat pocket responses, is what if at recess somebody says you're not running fast enough, or you're not kicking the ball hard enough, or you don't throw, or I throw better than you. This is such a common put down at recess. And we're teaching kids to say, I'm just here to have fun. I'm just here to have fun. Okay, what are they going to argue with? They can't argue with anything. If it's schoolwork, we are teaching kids to say, I'll let the teacher worry about that. So someone says, your handwriting's messy. Why is it taking you so long to do that math problem? You're not opening your locker right. These are all things that kids hear every day. I'll let the teacher worry about that. What can they argue with? Nothing. Shut it down. And then the key is your kid needs to walk. We don't actually say walk away. We say move on. Because when people think of walk away, they think about ignoring. So we say move on. And you move on and show that person that you're okay with you and you are not interested in having this conversation with them. And that is how you shut down a lot of these unfriendly comments. And when you shut down the unfriendly stuff, you can prevent bullying. And that's what all these tools and resources are meant to help kids prevent bullying and help them get help if they need help with anxiety or depression or self-esteem. We're going to have so many professionals, coaches, experts at this conference that you don't want to miss.
I'm really looking forward to coming. Thank you, Kimber and Steve, for being here today and giving us some information about this very interesting and dynamic conference that's coming up.
See you on the 2nd.
All right. Thank you.